Hey everyone, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Treaty 1 Territory. I'm your co-host Zoe LeBrun, and if Derek joins us, we will have Derek Breckner as our other co-host. And we have one guest today on the show. Correct me if I pronounce this wrong, but Camilo Londoño Hernandez is our guest.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Amazing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Camilo has a group show that is up at Platform Center for Photographic and Digital Arts. Camilo is the curator in residence for Platform this year. And the show is called Un lento atardecer de verano.
Yeah, perfect.
With my little French accent, which translates from Spanish to the slowly growing sunset of a summer evening. Yeah. So, Camilo, why don't we start with hearing a little bit about you and your practice?
Yeah, so hi, I'm from Colombia and I'm based in Germany. So I try to work between Latin America and Europe. I'm an artist. I did my bachelor's in social communication and then I switched to arts here at the Bauhaus University in Weimar, Germany. And in this transition from communication to arts, I realized that I could play with both curation and art making. So I see my art practice as a whole. So it's not like, oh, I am a curator. Oh, I'm an artist. No, I think I am more someone who tries to tell stories through different ways. So sometimes through my own practice, sometimes with others' practice. So trying to keep the dialogue of what the people do and what I can do and how can we make questions together rather than answers. Yeah, because communication and journalism was more about search the answer. And when I switched to arts, it was more about think the questions. And so that's kind of my background. I usually work between books, photography, cinema, and performance a little bit. And I like mixing medium and languages because I don't like the strict division of this is photography, this is cinema, this is blah, blah, blah. So I always like to expand the limits of each medium or language definition. So that's the reason when I saw the call at Platform for the curator in residency, it was this seems cool. I think I could play here a little bit more with the limits of photography. So that's kind of my background.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. I love how interdisciplinary your practice really is, because some people are multidisciplinary where they're doing lots of different things, but you really have integrated everything into one cohesive practice, which is really cool.
I don't know if cohesive, but at least
it's all one piece.
Yes.
It all works together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's reflected in the show that you're presenting at Platform, which features video, sound, photography, sculpture, installation. Is this your first time curating a show?
No, I think it's the first time it's this kind of a scale. I mean, because there are artists from Ecuador, from Colombia, and from Canada.
Yeah.
So I also did an international show in Barcelona at the Experimental Photo Fest in Barcelona. So it was also international show, but the preparation was 3 months somehow.
Mm-hmm.
This one was a longer research.
Yeah.
So it's not my first time, but it's the first in this kind. So it was really interesting to mix them all, to switch between Spanish and English, to switch between soundscaping and photography and writing as well. I really learned from all the artists. So it's something that I really found quite inspiring. And also now there are two from Canada, one from Colombia, and one collective from Ecuador, but they are three artists. And I wanted more, but it was Megan Elizabeth was like, keep it simple. It was like, so before the final, like the shortlist, I also had a conversation with another 5 artists to see if they fit. So it was like kind of going back and forth about their practices as well. So I also had other conversations with people that are not in the show, but also helped me to find the whole narrative. So
yeah, that's really cool. And the artists in the show, I have the brochure up here. I'll pull it up because there's quite a few there. So it's Connie Chappell, who's from Manitoba, Dainma David Iagaba, who we've actually interviewed on the show before. Connie's been on the show too, but I haven't personally interviewed her. Juan Pablo Bettino, and 3 members from Comunidad Disloca Art Collective.
Yeah.
So that's Christina Mancero, Maria Mercedes Roman, and Sulin Noriega.
Yeah.
And they're all from Ecuador, right?
Yeah.
Wild. And Juan Pablo's from Colombia.
Colombia, yeah.
Yes. So this is a really varied show. How did you come to the decisions that you did in terms of the artists you chose to include and the work that they chose to present?
Yeah, okay. So before choosing the artist, I found interesting platforms called, because it was like, present a concept rather than a list of artists. Usually as a curator, you have like kind of pre-selected artists, or you have artists that you usually work with, or you already have a research topic and you already know some names. But this call was like, present the concept, just the idea, and then dig on it. So I was like, oh, cool. So for me, I think the starting point is a little bit silly, maybe naive, because for me that was like a blind date. And usually, like, part of my practice as a researcher is the idea of expanded visuality, like how do we see without seeing. But it's the first time I touched the topic of blindness, like, directly. So when I thought about working with a concept rather than a list of artists, it's like, oh, this is like a blind date. And starting from that point, I was like, okay, what if I think about blindness as a way to make images? I already had some experiences like watching some artists who work with either blindness or the concept or not image at all. But for me, it was the first time. I was like, okay, just try to see what happens. But I didn't want to just bring a collection of people with visual disabilities. I wanted to bring more, like a little bit beyond that, because there are already other shows, or there are other researchers doing that. I wanted more like the experience of seeing beyond. So that was kind of my criteria to choose the artist. So it was like, so at the beginning was more a classical understanding. Okay, you have the eyes, but then you have the touch, and then you have the sound, like the 5 common senses. And during the research, I realized that kind of fragmented understanding of senses is a little bit old-fashioned, and it's also a little bit hegemonic, and it's also a little bit of ableism. So I realized that I shouldn't break the senses apart. But the idea at the beginning was like, okay, try to find artists from each sense, if you want to say so. But then I realized that everyone makes images with different mediums. So then, like, in the first kind of long list of artists, I was searching this division, but it was in the same process when I was reading. So I was like, no, I will just choose those who already have an experience of expanded something, rather than, okay, you are for the sound, so you will talk about this sense, and you are from the eye, so you will talk about this sense, and you are from the touching part, so you will talk about this sense. And it was like, no, this makes no sense. So I just will follow those who already understand the idea of the body perception as a whole, rather than just one thing. And I think that was kind of the clicking moment of, okay, I could work with them. Of course, I also had the criteria of different cultural backgrounds. So for sure, I wanted to know people from Winnipeg or Canada. So that was one part of like, okay, I want to explore that. But also ages, like Connie is around her 50s or 60s, and Dama just finished his bachelor, I think, last year. And then Comunidades Loca, they are around their 40s, and Juan Pablo is around his 30s. So I also wanted, like, people from Latin America and now this new context, Canada. In one point, I also wanted people from Europe because I'm based in Germany, but then it was like, oh, no, this is a lot. So I cut that. I was like, okay, some limits here. But I already had some conversation with some of them. It was like, okay, maybe I don't have the I wish, but...
Yeah,
but it was like, okay, so... Not only the senses, also how they perceive body and creating in a expanded way, and also different cultural backgrounds to have like a more diverse approach. So yeah, for instance, Juan Pablo, before being a sound artist, he was an engineer and he comes from cinema rather than like fine arts. And Comunidades Loca, they are also coming from academia. They are scholars before being artists, but they are also more writers rather than photographers. And Connie and Dama, they come from fine arts, but they expand because they took photos, but then make installations or use photography processes to think about the sculpture. So it was like always something that cracks the definition of what they are doing. And that's expanding the visuality, it's expanding the image that they are creating towards the audience and towards themselves. So yeah, I think that was the criteria to choose the artist.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it, I mean, obviously it fits with the show, you made the show, so it all works really, really well together. I think the artists you chose are also like, the way that they use photography when it is used is really unique. Like Dama has cyanotypes encased in resin, you know. Connie has like rings on tree branches and all that fun stuff, so it's really interesting to see it all come together.
I was afraid in one point, because I think when you start with an idea, you are like, oh, this is the idea, and then you start like researching and talking, and then you kind of go up and you are like really high on your own thinking, I mean with others. So in one point this is gonna be this and then it's gonna be this, blah blah blah. And then when I had to talk back to Megan Elizabeth, it was like, oh my god, is this gonna work? Because the artists were also really excited about like, yes, we can do this and we can do that, blah blah blah. And she was like, how you will narrow this? Or like, I have no idea. Because also since I'm also an artist, I got so excited. Like usually like creators could be more like cutting ideas, but I was like, no, let's do this, let's do that. And so it's like really kind of dreaming together, and I was really afraid about how to narrow the whole pieces and how to put them together. And I think first lighting was a really helpful way to do it. Like the light kind of integrates everything. And then I found really beautiful that usually we had like a meeting once a month. Yeah, average. Mm-hmm. So it was like in 1 or 2 weeks going from one meeting to another one to the whole round, 2 weeks of work from their side, and then I start over. And when I had these meetings, it was kind of like, how do you call this? Like the Chinese phone, I guess is the name of this game. Like when you say to another one.
Oh, the telephone game. Yeah.
Because like I had like a meeting with someone, and then the next meeting had somehow like a reflection or a resonance. If there were in the previous meeting, like if the people from Ecuador were in Connie's meeting, it's like, do you know? Do you hear us? Like, no, I had no idea that you were discussing this with them. So it was like kind of secretly knowing each other's work. So
yeah,
it was kind of organic for me. I was like, okay, I don't know how it's gonna be, but I trust that it's gonna work. And yeah, so that's kind of like, at the end, it was also kind of applying that, not only the concept, but also the process of like trusting the work itself.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's such an interesting way to build a show too, because in your writing about the show, you talk about like that integration of all of the senses into a full bodily perception. And that's how you curated the show too. You trusted instincts. You followed like kind of this almost like psychic maelstrom, you know, that like was happening, like connecting you all in like beyond the realm of like what is logical perception. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think, and I think that point touches like kind of to kind of it reflects on the core of the show, because mm-hmm. it's really clever when you say the logical way of thinking. And behind that idea of logical, we tend to think, okay, this is magic, like this is like intuition, this mm-hmm. is like some sort of like spiritual part of the show, because also some of the projects talk about grieving and like life after death, or how we deal with dead things, or things that are invisible for us, but it seems present, which is like yeah. kind of ghost or phantom. But then when you, it's not that you kill the logic or you kill the reason, like the rational mm-hmm. thinking. It's more that you break the modern and Western way of thinking. And that what yeah. it's happened when you cut the senses apart. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I found really interesting that the idea, this is a word that I learned, I'm really proud of it, the ocular centrism that we live yes. in, which is just thinking with the eye, is not casual, it's not naive. It's really like a modern way of understanding our bodies, which is mm-hmm. like, you are able to do something only if you have your all senses. When it's like, yeah. no, you are not able to. You just mm-hmm. do something with or without a specific vision, but you actually do it. So thinking that yeah. you actually do stuff beyond what people say you should do, it's a way to break that norm. Like, it's not like that. So when you think in that way, that when you realize that you can see beyond senses, it's when you break the logic. And that's not magic. That's just rebellious to the norm. And yeah. that's the reason the Western modernity wants to say, no, this is magic. No, this is like beyond logic. It's not beyond logic. It's just beyond your norm, which is a little bit different. And that's the reason I love the project and trusting, mm-hmm. because trusting seems magic, but it's not just magic. It's only following other rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that so much. And I, like in the write-up that you made, there's this line, we witness an act of faith going through each photographic process, which is really like an awesome way to kind of like talk about the process of art making, I feel. Because yeah, you kind of just have to like trust that things are going to unfold in the way that they need to. And kind of like using the camera to like frame what is or isn't reality, and like kind of like revealing that inherent, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's a lie that we tell ourselves that like the camera is this objective, all-seeing eye, right?
Yeah.
And I like how the show breaks that down.
And also because we think the camera, in this case, because platform it's focused on photography, but mm-hmm. we think art, it's a universe of visual devices that helps us to see. But around seeing, there is also not seeing. Like blindness is part of the process of seeing. So in this particular case with photography, like just the idea of frame, it's already like blocking part of the image. So it's already yeah. blocking something. And then also you cover the eye with the camera. But also if you are working with analog photography, you are like the developing time. It's also a kind of blind time, because... Mm-hmm. You take a photo, You have the image in your mind, and then you need to wait to the physical image. So there are like two images, like the one you took and the Y you see when it's already printed. And then so many other, like the dark room is already a space for blindness because you need to turn off the light in order to see the images. And I found that kind of, I wouldn't say contradiction. I think I would say more like that contrast. It's, yeah. I found it really poetic and really powerful and really beautiful as a understanding of our bodies. Like you actually need, there is one moment when you have to do nothing to be able to do something. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe I'm getting high and high with the conversation, but
no, I totally get that. Yeah. It's like your body needs periods of rest so that it can go and have the energy to do things later. You need like that kind of like explosive thing of energy happening in your cells to grow and develop as a person, you know, and to change. But you also need periods of like not stagnation, but like just rest and
Yeah. And that's the reason I didn't want to only bring artists living with visual disabilities. For sure, I wanted to integrate them as a part of the spectrum. But like, if I just block the curation there, I would reinforce the idea of, okay, this is the logical way and this is the non-logical way. No, it's like,
it's all one.
Yes, it's like this one or this one. If you have a visual disability, you have another understanding. In the same way, someone who works with sound and not with images has another understanding of visuality. So it's not about only the ableism we put on all the disabilities we live in. It's more about integrating them somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk about it in that sense, it also reminds me of how some people talk about, like, if you go on a walk with someone from a different field and like a different job than you, they're going to notice and point out things that you would never think or even realize are happening. And it's not that they're not happening. It doesn't like invalidate your own perception or their perception in any way, but it's like just a new way of understanding the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we want to. I mean, I hope we, I mean, that's our aim. That was our goal in the process. Yeah, just bring a new understanding. And it shouldn't be like, oh, this is the final answer. No, this is just another way of seeing. That's all.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a really beautiful show.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, we are actually getting very close to the end of our interview here. That just flew by.
Yeah,
there's a couple of things that we should talk about before we depart for the day. And that's that you will be here in the city.
Yes, yes. Sadly, I couldn't be at the opening because of visas. Like, okay, bureaucracy, you are doing your job again. But it worked out somehow. So I will be next week in Winnipeg. I'm really excited. And part of the things you were talking about, like walking with someone else that is not in your field, we will try to do a reading group on Wednesday.
Yes.
And it's going to be at Park. I don't remember the name of the park. Sorry.
Oh, I got you. That reading group is going to be at Munson Park, which is 475 Wellington Crescent. We're meeting at 6 p.m. If you want to sign up to be a part of that, you do not need to be a platform member to do so. Just sign up in the Google form, which you can find in the link on their website, and register so that we can send you the PDF ahead of time in case you'd like to read that beforehand. And yeah, and then you're also doing an active research lecture later that week on the 28th.
Yeah, on Saturday is going to be kind of the closure of the show. So I also, like, I'm really spiritual in the sense of, like not religious, but I really trust and I have this faith of the processes. Not always, sometimes I suffer a lot, but I found really beautiful coincidence. Like, first, I already explained that I kind of, had like this date experience that I didn't see the show until the end. So it was like working with expanded visuality, and I'm gonna be kind of the last one to see the show that I curated. So that's kind of like it's like someone said to me, be careful with the names you choose, because they will kind of, they are like kind of fate of your own process. I was like, okay. And then the name of the show is Un Largo Atardecer de Verano, or this sunset evening. And if I were at the beginning of the show, it would be still a spring, but I will be in summer. So I think it's more accurate that we will have a long day during the closure. So I'm really excited about being in Winnipeg and closing the exhibition by summer, and it's gonna be a kind of sweet summer long evening. So I was like, okay, it's a destiny even with the name. So I think that's
That is really cool. I love how that worked out.
Yeah.
It's very conceptual.
Yeah, and I didn't plan it. I mean, I planned the title, but not the whole process with visa. So
yeah, absolutely. So if you have questions for Camilo, everybody, you'll be able to ask him them in person.
Yeah, I'm really happy. And, it's going to be my first time in Canada. So.
That'll be really exciting. Do you want to give a quick little 1 to 2 minute breakdown of what you're going to talk about in that lecture?
Yeah, the talk is going to be in the frame of Flash Festival. Yeah. So
yeah.
I want to do 3 moments. Like, first, a little bit of kind of theoretical foundation, but not so deep, more like some glimpses of concept of landscape, scene, and perception and senses, but really short, sort of like the main ideas of the research behind the project. That will be like around 20 minutes. And I am thinking to do it like while we close our eyes and we lay down on the floor, more like a chilling moment rather than this is the lecture. So that's going to be kind of the first part of the talk. And then a second part, talking with the artist. I'm hoping, I'm not sure if they are actually able, so I cannot say by their, in on behalf of them, but I hope that at least Connie and Dayma will be there. So, but either way, the second part is going to be about the processes of each artwork, how we came up with this idea, and yeah, how was the first encounter until the end, and the montage and everything. So that's going to be the second part. And the third one is going to be more like a Q&A. So even though it's like a lecture, it's going to be chill. Also Saturday. And yeah, I don't know if platform will bring some drinks. I think so. If not, sorry, Megan Elizabeth. But
I mean, I think we're going to have some refreshments available. And usually, if we don't have the Cinematheque is usually open on Saturdays. They're just across the little lobby in the Art Space building, and they're movie theaters, so they have drinks and snacks and all that fun stuff. So
cool.
There are options around.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think we're at the end of our interview. Thank you so much for joining me today, Camille.
No, thank you.
Yeah, this has been really fun. I feel like we could have talked for so much longer about stuff, but we'll leave it for the reading group and the lecture.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon. And yeah, thank you for the show.
Yeah, amazing. So we are pre-recording, but in the time that our audience will be hearing this, stay tuned for Tawny the Brave, our next show on CKUW. And we'll be back next week, Thursday at 5:30 p.m.
Perfect.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.
Ciao.